Psalm 29 and verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Rendering holy worship. This morning we have come to worship the Lord, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is the only living and true God who deserves worship from us. How to render holy worship? John Calvin wrote, No worship pleases God except what he sanctifies. The worship of God is a most sacred exercise that must be done in accordance to God's way. How may we render to God worship that would be pleasing and acceptable to him? In order to render true and pure worship to God, we must observe the following three principles. Firstly, we must give him due glory and honor. In Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2, we have just read, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. We must give to the Lord due glory and honor. True worship of God requires the worshiper to know who God is. Now, please take note that over here, the name of the Lord is given in capital letters. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. And the word Lord here is in capital letters, L-O-R-D. And in the original, it is the four letters. The name of God, which is unpronounceable. Yahweh or Jehovah, and he is none other than the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the name of the Lord here is God's covenant name, the name that is known by God's people, chosen by him. And this is the name that Israel, God's chosen nation, uses to address their God. They are God's covenant people. And as Christians, we are also God's covenant people. And in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, we must have a covenant relationship with him. Are we in this kind of a covenant relationship with God? How to have a covenant relationship with the Lord? God says, I want to be your God. And I want you to be my people. And unless we are God's covenant people, unless we come under his covenant of grace, we cannot truly and fully worship him. For he demands people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And unless we are born again, born of the Spirit, born into His family, we cannot render unto Him holy worship. Our sins must be forgiven. Our sins must be cleansed. We must not be children of the devil. We must become the children of God. Then we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And the living and true God is but one. And He is revealed to us. And He is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your God? Is He your Lord? Is He our Savior? Are we in a covenant relationship with Him? We must believe on Him. Or else our worship will not be true or pure worship. Our hands must be clean. Our hearts must be pure. And if our hearts are not pure and our sins are not forgiven and we are not children of God, we are not in His covenant family and in this relationship that He requires us to be with Him, then we cannot worship Him acceptably. We must have clean hands and pure hearts. And only the pure in heart will see and can see God. Are you pure in heart? Are we born again? Our sins forgiven? Are we a child of God or a child of the devil? I pray that each one of us here this morning may be truly a child of God, truly born again. And we know why we are here. Why have we come to church this morning? Is it not to worship the living and true God? But you cannot worship Him truly and spiritually unless you are spiritually reborn. You're born again. Are you born again? Trust the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when the Spirit indwells you, you become a child of God. Then you can render holy worship unto Him. True worshippers are commanded to give glory, and this glory must be given to God and to God alone. No other. We are here not to worship men, but to worship God. And here in Psalm 29, we are told that the mighty must render to God worship. Who are the mighty? The mighty in the world are the learned, the educated, the rich and the powerful. And these are the men who command the respect of lower beings, isn't it? And we honor and we show respect to such men. To the learned, to the rich, to the powerful. And even such mighty men, with all their learning, with all their wealth, and with all their power, must kowtow and must bow to the Almighty God, who is above all, who is all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. You know, when I was in the army, I failed to attend a ceremony that was given in honor of an outgoing commanding officer, a colonel. A big mistake. And I was almost court-martialed for my negligence. Now, if such honor is due to powerful men, how much more to the all-powerful God? And if we don't render to the Lord the worship and the honor and the glory that is due to Him, how sorely will we be judged and punished? So the first step we must take, dear friends, if we don't want to be judged and punished and condemned by the Lord, is to worship Him by believing on Him. I cannot stress this enough. And I don't want to take for granted that everyone who comes to church is a believer. Because every church on earth is a mixed multitude. There may be unbelievers here. There may be those even in our midst who claim, who profess to believe, but have yet to truly believe, still not born again. For I trust that many here are truly children of God. And you know the Father in heaven, and He's working in your life. And unless we take this first step, dear friends, we cannot worship God aright. So are we careful to give to God the glory that is due to Him? Take the Lord's Day, for instance. Don't talk about just every day of our lives, how we must worship the Lord. How about the Lord's Day? Do we come early to church to prepare ourselves to worship the Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We give such honor and glory to human beings who occupy powerful positions of authority, to kings and to presidents, to colonels and to generals, to our teachers, our lecturers and our professors. But how about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How do we treat Him? How do we regard Him? And when we come to church every Lord's Day, we are meeting Him. We have an appointment with the Lord. Do we keep it with all due diligence? At every Lord's Day, we are yearning in our hearts. Quickly, we must be found in the house of the Lord. That we want to wake up early in the morning to prepare ourselves to come early to worship Him. That we should be waiting for the Lord instead of the Lord waiting for us. Do we come to God's house with this kind of a spirit and desire and attitude? I urge every one of us to take the Lord's Day very seriously, to come early to meet the Lord, to prepare our hearts, and each time we come, we observe a moment of silence and quietness before God. We are meeting Him, the thrice holy God. And then we confess our sins. And we repent of our ways. And cry out to the Lord, Lord, forgive us. And we want to worship You with clean hands and pure hearts. When we come early to church to meet the Lord, that's one way of glorifying His name, because I take Him so seriously. And I want to be found in His house early, early. Come early. How? Make sure you come to Sunday school, which begins before service. 9:15 we start. You come to Sunday school, you'll never be late for worship service. Because you'll be here already. And then when you study God's word at the beginning, you already prepare your hearts to worship the Lord. Right? When it begins at 10:30. So come. Come to study God's word. Wake up early. We wake up early for our work. Can't we wake up early to worship? To worship the Lord. And then when we are in church, you know, the Bible says that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. But on the Lord's Day at worship service, how many of us are present in the body but absent from the Lord? I speak from experience. Sometimes we may be here sitting in church. Bodily we are present. Everybody sees us. But then our mind and our heart is not here, it's somewhere else. I speak this from experience because sometimes when I don't concentrate on God's word, on the worship of the Lord and focus on Him, my mind and my heart wander away. I think of something else. My heart is in some other place. So we must discipline ourselves. Not only to come to church every morning early, but even during the worship service, every moment in the order of worship is important. And we should give our whole being, our mind and our heart to the worship of Him. The reading of the scriptures, the singing of the hymns, and we sing with our heart. And we sing with understanding, and we sing passionately to Him. Not half dead or sleepily, and not concentrating on the words. How we must be sensitive to the Lord at every moment as we worship Him in this sanctuary. So these are the practical ways, dear friends, how we can worship the Lord. Although this is an auditorium, But yet this auditorium is changed into a sanctuary, a holy place, when the call of worship is given. And this is a holy place, a sanctuary, until the end of the worship, until the benediction is given and the threefold Amen is sung. It is a holy place. And so we must conduct ourselves rightly and properly. And so, during our worship, we should not be eating. We should not be drinking. We should not be napping. Catch up on lost sleep last night, and in this holy place we sleep, instead of being alert and awake to God and to worship Him. No napping, no chit-chatting during the worship service. And that's how we offer to God and render to Him holy worship. And it's important for God's people to come together to worship Him. Yes, we worship the Lord privately, we worship the Lord personally. But the Bible also commands us to come together, to congregate, to assemble together to worship the Lord. And being present in the house of the Lord is part and parcel of serving the Lord, of giving Him service. That's why the worship on the Lord's Day is called a service. When you come to worship the Lord, you're serving Him and you're serving one another. When we come together, and just by being present, you know, you may not be chairing the worship, you may not be speaking, you may not be giving an item, you may not be playing the keyboard, you may not be ushering or anything like this actively, but you know, by being just here, you are serving the Lord. Because your presence would encourage many in the faith. You know, our pastor, although he's physically frail and weak, makes it a point to come to church to worship Him. And I'm sure his presence with us, his quiet presence with us, is an encouragement to all of us, for we see the grace of God in his life. So coming to church is very important by being present, being seated where you are, reading the scriptures together with God's people, singing the hymns together, encouraging one another in such ways. And after the worship service, we fellowship with one another and encourage one another and to provoke one another unto love and the good works. That's how we serve the Lord also. So don't take the presence, your presence in church lightly. When you come, you serve the Lord. And you come with pure motives and with sincere intentions to glorify the Lord in your heart and to love one another in the church, the Lord takes note. And He will reward us accordingly. And He will give you a special blessing when we are dismissed from this place. So let us make the Lord's Day worship service a priority in our timetable. It is a sacred day, and we should come into the Lord's house on the Lord's Day to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And so the second thing we want to observe is this, that in order to render holy worship to the Lord, we must live separated and Christ-like lives. We must live a separated and Christ-like life. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And the living and true God must be worshipped in the beauty of holiness, not in the ugliness of sin. The Lord says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine." Ye should be mine. And the word severed here, God has severed us from other people. And the word severed here can also be rendered separated. He has separated us. He has called us aside, called us apart, away from the sinful world unto a holy nation. And we are a holy nation to render holy worship unto the Lord. And this involves our lives, how we live our life on this earth. And in the context of Leviticus, it has the sense of separating the clean from the unclean, from the holy from the profane. And the holiness of God is the reason for our separation from the unclean and unholy things of this world. The Apostle John commands us not to love this world. This world is a sinful and unholy world. And we must not love this world. Love not the world, John says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then Paul likewise wrote in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the word service here in the Greek can also be rendered worship. Worship. How do we serve the Lord? We must serve the Lord worshipfully. And be not conformed. Do not fit into the scheme or pattern of this world. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed. And the transformation here is a metamorphosis that we must go through. To undergo a metamorphosis, to be changed from that which is ugly to that which is beautiful. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to worship God by living a holy life. So our worship of God is not just Sunday. Our worship of God must be every day of the week. We must conduct ourselves in a godly way, not only in church, but also at home, at work, or at play. And God forbid that we should lead a double life. On Sunday, we are angels, but on the rest of the week, we are demons. God forbid that that should be the case, that we live a double or hypocritical life. On Sunday, our speech is clean. But for the rest of the week, our conversation is very foul. Again, when I was in the army, I had a platoon mate. And he was a believer. He was a Christian. And he was from a Bible Presbyterian church. But his language, his speech, was most foul and most vulgar. There was one time I chided him. I said, as Christians, we should not be speaking or talking like this. And his retort was, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. While he may go to church on Sunday, it's a fundamental church, a conservative church, but then throughout the week, his speech was most liberal, most vulgar, most dirty. Does that characterize us? It should not. And if during the week we live such unholy lives, how can we conscientiously come to church on Sunday and then sing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord? For God had commanded, be holy as I am holy. God tells us here to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And this must be reflected in our lives. We must worship Him in the beauty of holiness, not in the filth of sinfulness. Every Lord's Day, we must present ourselves as living sacrifices unto the Lord in worship of Him. Or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There is great beauty in holiness. But in ungodliness, there's a whole lot of ugliness. And every time we come to church, we must come before the Lord beautiful, not ugly. And present ourselves beautiful before Him. And how to be beautiful before the Lord every Lord's Day? We live holy lives, godly lives throughout the week. And not sinful, ungodly lives. If we live sinful and godly lives throughout the week and then we come to church, can we truly render to God holy worship? I mean, we'll be like rotten eggs, smelly and foul. Don't offer to the Lord rotten eggs. We should offer to the Lord, we should be beautiful flowers, fragrant, sweet-smelling before the Lord, just like the flowers here, beautiful and fragrant before the Lord. So we must not be like a rotten egg every Lord's Day. After living a foul and sinful life, and then we come to church. But in our lives, we strive towards God's holiness, walking in His ways, obeying His commandments. Then when we come to church, we rejoice in how the Lord has used us and blessed our lives. And then we truly present to Him worship that is beautiful, the beauty of holiness. And to do this, we must lead a separated life, not a sinful life, throughout this week. Let us be beautiful for the Lord every Sunday, every Lord's Day. The third thing that we learn from this passage, from this psalm, is in order to render holy worship unto the Lord, we must believe. We must believe in the power of His Word. Verses 3 to 9 highlight the power of God's Word. And how can we be holy unto the Lord? How can we be sanctified? How can we live a clean life for the Lord and present beautiful worship to the Lord, holy worship every Lord's Day? Well, we must pay a whole lot of attention to God's Word, because Jesus said He will sanctify us by His truth. His Word is truth. So the Word of God must be central in our lives, must be very important. And we must believe that this Word is not only important, it is powerful. And it can change our hearts, it can change our minds, it can change our lives. And it is also significant to know that from verses 3 to 9, we are told of the voice of God. And the voice of God is mentioned 7 times. Now 7, I'm sure when the psalmist wrote the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of God here, and he writes it 7 times, it's not by chance. But it is to teach us that God's voice is perfect and powerful, absolutely authoritative, and we must submit to the voice of God and obey His every word. When the king speaks a word, we better obey. But then this is the thrice holy God who speaks 7 times. We cannot afford to ignore or neglect His word. We must believe in the power of God's word, which is full of power and majesty. And you can see how it is described in this psalm. The word of the Lord, the voice of God, inspire awe and fear and reverence. And so that's why every time we begin our worship service, we begin with God's word, the reading of the Holy Scriptures, a call to worship using the word of God. God's word has a sanctifying influence. And in our worship service, we seek to maximize the voice of God and minimize the voice of men. And in the proper worship of God, it is God that must be heard and not men. And true worship must always be centered on the Word of God. And that is why in our pulpit is placed at the center and not at the side. In many churches, all right, the pulpit is placed to the side. Some of these churches that are the traditional ones, and their focus is on the rituals and the ceremonies. The rituals and the ceremonies occupy center stage, center place. Consider that to be most important. And so the pulpit is put to the side. And then there are certain churches that place that hog. What hogs the center stage and the limelight is entertainment. And so they need a space in the stage for all their equipment, musical equipment, and the space to jump from here and there with a whole lot of excitement and entertainment. And so the pulpit is put aside or even completely removed. The Word of God has no center place or center stage in the worship. It is man that is at the center, or tradition, or ceremonies and rituals. No, the Word of God must have center stage and center place in our worship service. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And as we put God's Word in center in our reading, in our singing of our hymns, which are filled with God's Word, as we pray to Him, and as we study the Scriptures, when we have God's Word at center place or center stage, and then the Word of God throughout the worship service begins to work in our hearts, whether to convict us or to comfort us, to teach us or to guide us, and then we respond to the Lord humbly, and we are sanctified in our minds, in our hearts. Well, that is worship. When the Word of God effectively works in our hearts during our worship service here, it is our worship of the Lord. So is the Word of God like this, doing His invisible work in our hearts as we worship the Lord Sunday after Sunday, or is it just a routine? I come to church, I just pay my dues, make sure people see me, make sure I put my money in the offering bag, and then that's it. That's all. No, it must be a whole experience from beginning to end at the worship service. And the Word of God takes center place, center stage here. And the Word of God, when we are sensitive to the Spirit and we truly worship Him, begins to take effect in our lives. It cleanses us from all sin and grant us the wisdom how I may live my life throughout the week in obedience to God. But today, God's Word is just no longer relevant in the church, isn't it? But all kinds of other things, the things of the world have come in. And we are living in days of compromise, immorality and apostasy, of falling away. And Paul warned in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And if from the pulpit sin is rebuked, or error is corrected or exposed, many today would rebel. And they will write off the preacher or the sermon and say, this is very unloving or divisive, unkind and not edifying. They only want to hear what they want to hear. And if a sermon sounds good and excites them and make them feel good about themselves, then that's a good sermon. That's an edifying sermon. They only want to hear what they want to hear, and they have itching ears. Are we characterized by such an attitude when we come to church? We must not have a low view of God's voice or God's Word when we come to church. We must have a very high view if we are going to be blessed, if we are going to benefit from the worship of God, and if we are to render true and pure and holy worship to Him. We must come into church with a high view of God's Word. Psalm 62 verse 11 says, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this." When God speaks once, we must hear twice. But today people shut their ears to God. Sermon is preached, close your ears. Or when we listen, it is in here, out the next. We don't take to heart what God says. We must realize, every time we come to church, we must realize and understand that we are spiritually sick and we need spiritual healing. And when we come to church every time, we come to seek healing from the Lord, and God heals us from His Word. And I do believe in the power of God. I do believe in the power of His Word. is perfectly inspired and perfectly preserved. The Word of God today is 100% infallible and inerrant, without any error, without any mistake whatsoever. Do you hear the voice of God today? Is it loud and clear to you? What is the voice of God? The voice of God is the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Dean Bergen says this: the Bible is none other than the voice of Him, the voice of God. The Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every word of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High. Bible is none other than the Word of God, not some part of it more, some part of it less, but all alike the utterance of Him that sitteth upon the throne, faultless, unerring, supreme. And if we have such a high view of God's Word, God will bless us. And our worship of Him will be truly holy worship when we bow to His Word and allow His Word to change our minds, transform our hearts, and even our lives. So, dear friends, when we worship God according to His will, according to His way, by giving Him the glory and the honor that's due to Him, by living a separated and Christ-like life, and by believing in the power of His Word, we will experience His strength. We will experience and we will be blessed by His peace. What is His strength? What is His peace? Something you must experience for yourself. For the grace of God, the strength of God, and the peace of God is beyond description. But when you worship the Lord like this, and you experience God in your lives, and you know what that strength is and what that peace is, it surpasses understanding. Have you experienced this? Is God being experienced in your life? Not only every Lord's Day, but every day of the week. And the last verse in Psalm 29 gives this promise: the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And when we render true and holy worship to the Lord every Lord's Day, you will leave this place, this holy place, with this strength, this grace to live throughout the week. And you will have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then we can say, it has been good. It is good to be found in the house of the Lord. And then you're so happy. Do you experience this every Lord's Day? Yearn to come to church. Desire with all your heart, soul, and mind, come to church every Lord's Day. Sincerely, genuinely, to seek the Lord and be ministered by His Word. And so come early. Come very early, 9:15. And then prepare ourselves to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then after we sing the threefold Amen, confirming God's Word that we have read and sung and we have learned, and His work in our hearts. Amen, amen, amen. Blessing comes from above. And then the Lord dismisses us with His blessing. And when we find strength for the week and peace in this very, very unpeaceful and troubled world, may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, help us to worship You in spirit and in truth, to render unto Thee holy worship that only You deserve. Grant us Thy grace, O Lord. Bless us with Thy peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.